This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real five-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now.
0-2, swing and a miss. He struck him out. Ryan Watson puts an exclamation point on a fabulous win on the south side of Chicago. Monasterio and Sedan go deep. Tolley was awesome, and the Red Sox have won four in a row to begin the most important road trip of the season. 8-1 the final.
I tell you what, don't look now, but it's starting to get a little fun for the Boston Red Sox. Four wins in a row for Boston, 9-2 in their last 11 with a victory tonight, one that they were running away. 8-1 the victory over the Chicago White Sox, and there's just something a little bit different. And I know that everybody looks at the name, the Chicago White Sox, and goes, oh, well, there's a rollover victory for the season. This is not your White Sox team of years past. Now, it's almost completely Red Sox teams from years past between prospects and guys like Andrew Benintendi, who I still miss watching as a member of the Red Sox. But this White Sox team, even with the loss, is still four games over 500, and things are starting to click on every side of the ball for the first time consistently all season for the Red Sox. The number to jump in line here on Red Sox Review, I'm Dan Ball, by the way, thanks for joining us, is 617-779-7937. And here's what I want to know, and a texter from the 207 that jumped in line before we started our show got me thinking about this. When Crochet and Anthony come back after the break, the baseball team will be fun to watch, right? I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but what I want to know from you is, do you have belief at this point? Any shred of belief that this team has any chance of jumping into a playoff race? Is anything about your perception of this team changing? Is anything about your perception of the trade deadline changing right now? I want to get into all of that because you can only win games consistently for so long before you have to kind of start to reevaluate what you thought you were watching. So I want to know if anybody's getting close or if there is just still too much that's building up in terms of roadblocks to keep this team from competing. 617-779-7937. We are here on Red Sox Review here on WEEI, which is brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Let's take a break here on WEEI. We're back with your calls, texts, and thoughts on the Red Sox next.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real five-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's Furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
220 hitter with three homers. The pitch. Swinging a shot down the left field line. If it's fair, it's gone. It's hooking. It is out of here. Inside the pole. He picked that one up well. Mona. Adios. And it's 1-0 Red Sox.
A two-strike sweeper. Schultz trying to go down and in with this pitch. Now, we've seen it with his cutter and his sweeper today. Missing over the plate when he's trying to bury it. Not finishing the pitch. That one hung over the middle part of the plate down in the zone, and Mona went out and golfed it out of here right down the line. 375 feet.
You don't want to make a mistake to this man, Sadon, who swings and drives one high and deep and way gone! Sadon! Say goodbye! It is 3-0 Red Sox.
First pitch sweeper. He's got to be looking for that, right? Inner corner, black, 383 feet, but that thing brought rain. It had hang time.
Couple of second inning dingers for the Red Sox, and that got him off and running, and that was kind of all they needed. Andrew Monasterio, his fourth. Sadon Rafaela, his eighth. That put the Sox up to a 3-0 lead. And they kind of held that the rest of the way. 8-1 your final, with four runs coming in the top half of the ninth inning to extend the lead for Boston and allow Aroldis Chapman to sit down with, which at the beginning of the season, he honestly might have came in and pitched, because it was just a thing where Chapman, as good as he was, I mean, he was having a better season, an 0.80 ERA for the longest time up until that blow up in Colorado. But the Red Sox were simply not putting him into save situations because they weren't winning baseball games consistently. But in the last 2 weeks, it's been a pretty heavy dosage of Chapman and Whitlock and Slayton, because the Red Sox have finally been able to get into their late-inning relievers. And so this time around, being able to get away from Aroldis Chapman, get to Ryan Watson in that ninth inning and save your high-leverage arm to try to go out and win a series tomorrow with Jake Bennett, who has quickly become one of your most reliable pitchers and is also quickly becoming one of your most important pitchers on the mound, you want to be able to have your full complement there, and that's exactly what you'll have with Aroldis Chapman being able to save a day. You did go to Slayton for two-thirds of an inning. You went to Garrett Whitlock for a perfect bottom half of the eighth inning, and you were able to save Chapman, and that's a huge part of what you're hoping to do for the rest of this series. Dan Ball with you. It is Red Sox Review here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Your calls and texts, we'll get to those. And what I mentioned right before the break was a simple question. Are you getting closer to being in on this team? Is anything changing in the way that you perceive it? Because let's call a spade with this lineup. Sigler, Rafaela, Abreu, Contreras, Romy, my homie, Gonzalez, Durbin, Duran, Monasterio, and Wong. You look at it in a vacuum, and you look at the players and what you would expect of them, and you go, it's not moving the needle enough for me to go, oh, all of a sudden, let's buy at the trade deadline, right? I mean, it's no disrespect to anybody on this roster, but I don't believe Anthony Sigler is going to remain a 298 hitter for the rest of the season. I do not believe that Connor Wong is going to remain a 294 hitter. You're starting to see the regression from Caleb Durbin, who went 0-for-4 and is hitting under 100 so far in the month of July after, to his credit, a month of June where he hit over 300. But it's the regression of Durbin added to Duran, added to whatever you choose to do with shortstop, be it Chang or Monasterio, and then the inconsistency of your catcher position. There's still too many ifs for me, but let's kind of talk that one through. Roman Anthony right now is a massive question mark. But if you add Roman Anthony back to this mix, and let's war game this out a little bit. So say Roman Anthony, now that he is separate from the distractions, quote unquote, at Fenway, which I want to get into at some point here before we bid each other adieu. Now that he's separate and can solely focus on his recovery, and apparently that wasn't happening for the last couple months. But if you re-enter Roman Anthony as your left fielder slash DH, and you get back to this four-man outfield rotation, okay? Roman Anthony slots in maybe as your leadoff hitter once again, and it's Anthony, Rafaela, Abreu, Contreras, and Romy Gonzalez who can go to, let's call it, second base, take Anthony Sigler's spot. He's your super utility on the infield, okay? So that's your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Anthony, Rafaela, Abreu, Contreras, Romy Gonzalez. Durbin at third, Duran left slash DH, and then you still have your shortstop question that isn't going to be solved by Marcelo Meyer or Trevor Story anytime soon, and then your catching spot. Does the return of Roman Anthony change how you feel about this team? Not enough for me to really kind of change things. Then there's the pitching side of all of this. Garrett Crochet, still no updates. We heard from Chad Tracy during the pregame show, so no updates there. Ranger Suarez said he felt some discomfort but told the media he was feeling better today, and the Red Sox are hoping to avoid an IL stint for him. So you skip you keep him on the roster, then he skips the All-Star break, and he essentially gets 2 weeks off without having to go on the IL. I guess they're leaving the door open to potentially get a few innings out of him this weekend in New York. I don't know about that. Maybe there will be a reevaluation and then he goes on the IL. I'm not sure how that one goes. Connelly Early right now is getting a second opinion. I really worry about that. So it's Jake Bennett. It's Peyton Tolley. It's Patrick Sandoval, who is about to, almost a year and a half into this contract, make his Red Sox debut. It's the ever-consistent Sonny Gray, and then it's question mark. With Suarez, Crochet, and Early, the three that can hopefully at some point slot themselves in. So does the pitching make you feel confident? Yeah, it still does, because those four pitchers that are still, well, three pitchers, I can't say that about Sandoval, but three of those pitchers are pretty damn good. But it's starting to get thin to the point where you start to worry we're really running out of reinforcements. I didn't even think we were going to get to Jake Bennett at this point in the season, let alone have to rely on Patrick Sandoval as an every fifth starter right away. So, lineup 1 through 5, pretty good. Durbin, Duran, shortstop, catcher, okay, all right, not amazing. And then your pitching, when it's healthy, is really good, but it's not healthy right now. Again, there's too many roadblocks for me to just put my hand down and say 9-2 in your last 11. This changes everything. You have a real opportunity to be very tactful with how you handle this trade deadline. I'm not advocating for a full teardown. I would be devastated if the Red Sox trade Wilson Contreras at this point. Devastated. He's a guy I'd like to see here for a while. I know he's outperforming his career averages, but he's a good player. He's becoming a leader. Guys really seem to be responding to him. It seems like the more of an influence and impact he's had in this clubhouse, the more of a fight this team is showing. I don't think there is I think there is absolutely something to the more fight this team is showing over the last couple of weeks, the more influence I think Wilson Contreras is having, as there was a bit of a weird dynamic between is this Roman Anthony's team? Is it Contreras's team? Was it Alex Bregman's team? Is this Alex Cora's team? Who's calling the shots here in terms of what this culture is? Well, now Cora's gone. Anthony just got shipped off to Florida with all the other retirees. And now it really seems to be Wilson Contreras's group. And I think you're kind of showing this team reflect the way that he plays the game. So I would hate to see him go. Chapman, trade him. Fine. But if you want to keep Garrett Whitlock in the mix and not trade him, and he's your closer moving forward with Justin Slayton as your eighth inning guy, sign me up for that. Sonny Gray, again, would hate to see him go, but I think you can get a windfall for him the way he's pitching. So you can trade him, and you could trade Chapman. And past that, again, if you get a taker from Masataka Yoshida, I'll drive him to Logan myself. Same with Jarren Duran, but I'm not holding my breath. So it's the two. It's Sonny Gray and Aroldis Chapman. Past that, I don't know. I kind of like some of what's going on here. There was also a name that got floated in ESPN's most recent trade proposal story on ESPN. And I didn't even realize that this was a guy that was looking to be shipped out. But Jeremy Pena, the shortstop for the Astros, just got Scott Boras as his agent. And now I think Houston is expecting him to play hardball to the point where they're going to end up needing to let him walk. This kid's a near 300 hitter, plus defender at shortstop. Young could add into this Anthony-led young core, Anthony Tolley an early-led core. So, I mean, I'm not saying add and completely go for it at the expense of your prospects, but if you're trading a couple of rentals for prospects and you have a chance to actually add in a young piece that you can then sign to an extension and add as part of this core for years moving forward, I would absolutely entertain a buy and sell, walk the line at the deadline if that buy is a piece that's going to help you years down the line. Because again, I do not think 2026 is the year. But I like that we're entertaining conversations about maybe some positive things for this team moving forward. We can continue to have those. 617-779-7937. Plenty more to get to here. Red Sox Review, WEEI. We're back in just a few moments with more and you after this.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back to Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Two balls, two strikes. They lead at first and third. Slayton's ready. He throws. Swing and a miss. He got him with a curveball. Slayton brings out Uncle Charlie on the south side in the biggest spot of the game, and he escapes an enormous jam.
Bullpen was strong for the Red Sox here this evening. After a strong effort from Peyton Tolley, Danny Coulomb kind of walked the tightrope a little bit to start the seventh inning. Two hits and a run given up, but Justin Slayton came in. The second strikeout that you just heard there ended that seventh inning. A clean eighth for Garrett Whitlock, and then a clean ninth with two strikeouts for Ryan Watson, who cleaned up a Red Sox 8-1 victory. It is Red Sox Review here on WEEI. Dan Ball with you at 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones and begin with Glenn, who is in New Orleans. Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine tonight. Thanks for taking the call.
Of course.
No, I'm not sold on them yet.
Okay.
They're going to have to first get to 500 and then at least be able to maintain 500, if not improve on it, for 2 to 3 weeks before I would feel more positive. You mentioned all of the flaws on the team, but the middle bullpen is really the pitch. That's, to me, that's their soft underbelly. When they have to bring in like Coulomb and Weissert and Watson, that you just can't rely on those guys every time you bring them out. They're not going to perform. So.
It's a great point there, Glenn. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that, and it really is a great point. You know, we talk so much about the strength of Chapman, Whitlock, Slayton, and even Tyron Guerrero has been just a revelation for the Red Sox this season. But Coulomb, Weissert, Giovanni Moran, and Ryan Watson as the 5, 6, 7, and 8 in this bullpen is it certainly can't be trusted in high leverage situations. So you need to be winning games by a lot consistently in order to go to those guys consistently, which is why it was such a win that you were able to put up four runs in the top half of the ninth this evening and go away from Aroldis Chapman, because then you could at least comfortably get to Ryan Watson. But you saw it. I mean, Danny Coulomb was really struggling to start things here tonight, and then you had to go to your higher leverage arms when you were hoping maybe you didn't have to. And to answer the question of, is there anything else the Red Sox can do about this in the organization? Not particularly. I mean, the injured list at the moment has pretty much all starters on them. Cutter Crawford and Tanner Houck, who I'm not sure we're ever going to see again. Crochet, Early, and Oviedo. I mean, those guys, I don't think you have in your plans to join that middle relief core at all. And then you look down at AAA right now. Obviously, Brian Bayo is still sitting there waiting for his future. I really liked what Tyler Uberstein brought when he was up with the big club. I don't know if that's somebody who they could turn to try to improve things, but he hasn't seen some time at the big league level for a little while. You got Alec Gamboa, the Boa who was just sent back down. Tyler Samaniego is who I meant to say there. Two of the Tylers. Liked what Samaniego brought. He still has three options remaining. Zach Kelly, you haven't seen a ton of recently, and then it goes down from there to where you're not getting anything better from Gamboa or Kelly or Joe LaSorsa or Kyle Keller or Seth Martinez. You're just not. So it's a good point that's made that you have four guys who you can trust, and the odds are certainly pointing towards you trading Aroldis Chapman at some point before the deadline. So then you're down to three, and you can only run these guys out so many times before they're going to burn out. It's a pretty tough break that Greg Weissert has been as bad as he has in any sort of high leverage situation. I think there were a ton of expectations going into this season that Weissert was going to be essentially, I would guess, the co-seventh inning guy. So say you get your starter through five innings and change, right? Get five innings and change. Weissert gets that dirty inning in the sixth. Then it's Slayton, Whitlock, Chapman. I'm assuming that's what the plan was. But he has been bad, and it's something we didn't talk about enough during the offseason. The Red Sox lost significant pieces from their bullpen. Steven Matz, who they got at the deadline. Justin Wilson, who at pushing 40 years old was fantastic. They traded Brandon Bernardino to Colorado. They traded Chris Murphy to the White Sox, and he hasn't been great for them. But again, you had a lot of pieces in that bullpen that were big parts of what you did last year that you kind of didn't really replace. That Ryan Watson made the opening day roster was a shock, but that's kind of how thin you were in that regard. So that is a sneaky huge part of whether you trust this team or not, is I think a lot of fans are trying to find some kind of point on that. Okay, let's hear from Chad Tracy, who spoke to the media after the conclusion of the Red Sox 7-run victory, 8-1 the final over the Chicago White Sox, and here's what he had to say.
We need to start to swing the bat better. We have now for a while, so, and some balls leaving the ballpark, which helps a lot. So obviously Mona and Rafa with the swings early to get us the lead. We execute a safety squeeze perfectly, which was great. And then obviously the last inning to extend and push the lead to a bigger lead. We sit Chappie down. It was just a really good performance.
How much Peyton was motivated to try to make up for last time?
Probably so. Knowing him, you know, I don't think he liked the last outing at all. And actually, first inning and a half, got out of the gates a little slow. He only walked one, which was great, but he lost some counts early, was behind and had some 2-0, 2-1s. And then about end of the second, he kind of really locked it in and started to attack the zone, get a lot of swing and miss. He was excellent.
I think he had retired 15 and lost 16,
right.
I think.
Late it was very good. The first, he did fine early, just he lost some counts early on. And there were some foul balls mixed in there, so you saw the count starting to climb again, and then he found it and didn't let go of it.
This team's been a good offensive team here. I mean, that makes it even a more impressive start for them.
Yeah, they're a good team. They have a lot of exciting young players in there, and they got some guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark, so to pitch that way was really good to see.
Big was that outing for Slayton Gibbons?
Huge. Yeah, that's needs to be mentioned. That's a big spot right there in an area where they can get back in the game very quickly. And to come in that spot and get two strikeouts was huge.
Coulomb have gotten to first on that fielder's choice.
Tough one. Swinging bunt. Like, it's almost like a push bunt with a lefty.
No, not the dribbler, the one that Wilson went to second on
the fourth. Tough. Again, those are always tough. I mean, you want to see you guys get over there, but always tough with lefties that are falling towards third base. 3-6-1s are going to be really, really challenging with the left-handed pitcher on the mound, and then the swinging bunt's going to be really challenging. So the leadoff walk was the tough one there. The couple hits they got were soft hits. Getting the last or the out there for Slayton to have an out coming into the game was important.
Wilson's had a lot going on, but you wouldn't know it from the way he's played.
He's been really, really good. I mean, he's been really good all year, but he's been particularly good on this road trip and has taken some big at-bats for us.
How big was that diving play?
Huge.
It's a 4-1 game at the time.
Huge, huge. I mean, that ball goes through and it changes the entire complexion of the inning. So, very important out right there.
Chad Tracy, manager of the Boston Red Sox, speaking to the media after the conclusion of the game, talking about the influence of Wilson Contreras and just how good he has been, despite clearly being impacted by the emotions of everything going on back in his home country. But I maintain it, the more the Red Sox win, the more that they continue to scratch and claw their way into scoring runs and seemingly backing each other up and fighting for each other. And you see the offense now backing up the pitching, all of that stuff that's kind of forming into a semblance of an identity, I even dare to say, and that's something that this team has really struggled to find this year. I think a lot of that can be traced back to Wilson Contreras and everything that he brings to the mix. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll catch up on your calls and texts as we wrap up here on Red Sox Review. Plus, comments from Chad Tracy matching something that Isaiah Kiner-Falefa said earlier on in the season that just kind of raised my eyebrows that I wanted to spend a few moments on before we say goodnight. Red Sox, 8-1 victors over the White Sox. We're back to wrap things up next.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
3-2 to Contreras, the pitch. Runners go, swinging a ground ball, fair inside the third baseline, and the umpire screwed it up down the line. Wong scores, Abreu behind him. He's going to score. He first pointed foul and then fair. It was clearly inside the line. The runners had no idea what was going on, but they both react well. They both scored at 6-1.
It looked very fair to me. That's not even close. I was thrown off. He just had a brain lapse and pointed the wrong way.
Review here, WEEI, Dan Ball with you, 617-779-7937. As we wrap things up here, with the call of one of the more bizarre things I feel like I've seen in a while in a baseball game. I don't know about you, but seeing a ball hit down the line so precisely that an umpire points foul or points towards foul territory, which is, I think they remarked on the broadcast after the fact, is not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to throw your hands up if the ball goes foul. Sometimes you'll see a point in that direction and then the hands go up, but it's a point towards foul territory and then an emphatic turn and a, no, it's fair, it's fair, it's fair. And the third baseman looks back at him and then looks at his dugout with a WTF did I just watch kind of face. And in the process, the Red Sox are able to score on the double. And then what made it so much better for me was immediately after that at bat, Romy Gonzalez gets in the box and hits this little cue shot down the right field line that also is fair by an inch. This time around, the first base umpire ended up getting it right. But just to see something that was so close that it even screwed up the umpire, and then another one on the other side, like, hey, it's basically like, I just tested you, let's test you again. We just went over the source material, so here's the quiz. That's what we saw from Contreras and Romy, but in the process, that ended up being a very quietly huge part of this game, getting a couple of hits and stringing runs together, and then Jaron Duran stepped up and helped out, driving in a run with an RBI single as well, and those four runs end up extending the lead out to 7 runs, and that is where the Red Sox ended up sitting. A couple of numbers for you from today's contest, per JB Long at Sox Notes on Twitter, or X if you want to call it that. Peyton Tolley is the first Red Sox pitcher since Dennis Eckersley in 1978 to make at least 4 starts of 6 or more innings and no earned runs in a single season prior to turning 24. He is the MLB's only pitcher under 24 to make at least 4 such starts so far this season. So Will Middlebrooks, when we were chatting before the game, mentioned how it had been kind of a rough last month or so for Peyton Tolley. And the numbers certainly do back that up. He had an ERA in the low twos after the beginning of June in his start there. And then over the next 5 starts, he'd go 1-4 and his ERA would balloon up to 3.38, I believe the number was. And that was all kind of all put with an exclamation point with his first start of July, the first against Washington, the last one that we saw there at Fenway, where he goes 3 innings, gives up a handful of runs, and all the stuff ticks down. It was a hot day, a steamy day, and it just seemed uncomfortable from the start. But the problem was that wasn't a one-off. That was one of 4 starts where he had given up at least 4 runs over the last month plus. This was much more vintage Peyton Tolley. And looking at the splits and the way that he went about his outing today, Tolley started heavy on the fastball and the sinker to start the game. First time through the lineup, it was majority fastball sinker, going with the hard stuff. But then as the game went along, second and third time through the order, you started to see a balance where he was throwing all of his pitches in his arsenal roughly 20% of the time by the third time through the lineup. So it was a really nice variation to see him start with the speed and use the fastball to his advantage and try to get ahead in counts and be powerful at the start. But then, you know, start your at-bats off with different pitches and kind of start on an off-speed note and get your hitters off balance. And just put it in the back of your mind that I may not see the fastball, because Peyton Tolley has run into issues in his career only when it seems like he is just getting too fastball dependent. And that's what we saw last year. A microcosm of 2025 at the major league level for Tolley was oh my God, this kid's stuff is electric. Oh my God, all he has is his fastball. And so going through a very important offseason, Tolley's goal was develop the arsenal a little bit. And he did. But now I think your next step for Peyton Tolley in the rest of this season into future seasons, and the thing that's really going to solidify him as a front of the rotation option for the Red Sox for years to come, God willing, is how to deploy his stuff. And I think that involves him, obviously, but it involves your catchers, it involves your pitching coach, your pitching, your pitching infrastructure that you have in the organization. Fine tuning. We still want to maximize the fastball. We know that's always going to be his best pitch, but we also need to mask it at least a little bit and make it so that every at bat for these guys does not look the same. And it seemed like Andrew Bailey and Connor Wong and Peyton Tolley had a really good feel tonight for mixing up the arsenal as the game went along and giving different looks during different at-bats. Based on the breakdown, and you can go check it out on Baseball Savant. It's nerd stuff, so I'm just going to warn you with that. But based on the breakdown of the way he was deploying his pitches, it really looked like they had a good feel for that. First at-bat, second at-bat, into third. Also, worth noting, and this was published on Instagram by the Section 10 podcast, Chad Tracy is now 31-31 as manager of the Red Sox. So the as they mentioned as well, the 500 Sox are back under Chad Tracy. So it took a 9-2 over an 11-game stretch in order to lift them up to that 500 mark under Chad Tracy, but he's getting a lot out of these guys. And it's also worth noting that, I mean, you have a lot of guys that have played time in AAA that are now playing significant innings with this team, both on the pitching side and on the hitting side at this point. So it just seems like what Alex Cora seemed to lack in terms of feel for this lineup, feel for this roster, and just feel for the culture of this year's team, Chad Tracy seems to be finding his footing, navigating his way through some of the roster-related challenges that Craig Breslow has given him. So a credit to him, 31-31 as Red Sox manager. Still some pessimism on the text line, as I was expecting, from the 646, I believe that says. 646, the Red Sox dug themselves too big of a hole in the first few months. Sell, sell, sell. From the 609 as well, this team still sucks, and all this does is convince Breslow to buy at the deadline, which is the absolute last thing they should do. It would set the organization back even more. This team isn't winning a damn thing in October. So still a fair bit of pessimism, not that surprised, and I would still tend to side with you that ultimately this roster isn't going to do enough in October to justify, hey, buy rentals, buy guys whose contracts are done at the end of the year. I would never in a million years advocate for that. But I do go back to a guy who hopefully could be part of this thing for the longer term if you could get him to sign an extension. And I think Jeremy Peña, a lockdown shortstop, would be a really interesting thing. Because I think shortstop, you have to proceed with a question mark right now. Marcelo Meyer is a question mark. Trevor Story, God knows what he's going to look like moving forward. And then you go down into the minor leagues, and you do have some interesting middle infield prospects, but they're prospects. So if there is going to be an MLB season in 2027, I would really like there to be an answer at shortstop, because post Xander Bogaerts, it hasn't been a very convincing answer at shortstop. 207, ball, period. Hello. The craziest thing is that people are still saying Breslow should have gotten a right-handed power bat first baseman, been waiting for this guy for 9 years. I'm aligned with Will Middlebrooks on this one. I didn't think that Wilson Contreras had the pop that he did. He's already four home runs away from his career high. He had 24 in 108 games with the Cubs almost a decade ago at this point. And he's kind of sat right at that 20 home run mark consistently in his career. But, I mean, not in 80 games. Like, that's not the kind of numbers that he's been putting up. So the power hitting side of the power hitting first baseman, I did not think the Red Sox had. I did not know that the leadership and the emotion and stuff would be this much of a positive. It seems to at least be, based on what we're seeing from the outside. And I also did not just expect him to be this good for this long with this year's group. So please don't trade him. I'd love to see him part of the Red Sox moving forward. Okay, you hear the music there. That is the end of Red Sox Review. Thank you to Rob back behind the glass, my man. Always a pleasure. Thank you to those who called and texted and joined the conversation. Don't forget, Game 2, Red Sox and the White Sox tomorrow night. I'll have you for a 40-minute Christian Arcan show. Again, me and Stiz will have that for you leading into the MassMutual pregame show. That is going to be at 6:40, first pitch at 7:40. Jake Bennett is on the hill for the Red Sox, looking to pick up another win and close out what's been an outstanding first half for him. Thank you for listening. Have a happy and safe rest of your evening. Talk to you tomorrow here on the Red Sox Radio Network and here on WEEI. See ya.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.